So,
what section is it?
Oh, this would still be 10.2, right?
Yes.
Oops. 10.2. So, last time we just talked about some things work the same. These things work the same. The only difference, right, was the DS formula has to be interpreted in terms of now a parameter T, right? So I didn't spend much time at all on this stuff because there's not much of a difference. And what was new was this idea of if you have a clockwise loop and you integrate y dx, you get the area inside the loop because of the way the positive and negative values of y times dx cancel out.
That was from yesterday's class?
Yeah. Remember we did an example with a circle?
Yeah.
And it came out, it was counterclockwise, so we had to put a negative sign in front, but we got 4 pi like we were supposed to because it was a circle radius 2. Okay. Now, let's talk about slopes and concavity.
How about x equals the sine of t, y equals, let's see here, how about t squared?
Thank you. So we've got a simple question, like, what is the slope of the curve at, say, t equals pi? Right. And if you know the slope, you ought to be able to figure out an equation for the tangent line, right? And we could also ask other questions. Is the curve concave up or concave down at t equals pi? First of all, I might not have any idea what this curve looks like, but could do a little warm up by thinking about the. Here's a x equals sine of t graphed, right? That's what happens at t equals pi. All right. You'll notice that x is decreasing, so that means. At t equals pi, our curve, if we graph it, is going to be moving to the left. Now, if we graph y as a function of t, Well, that's the t squared. That's an upward opening parabola. So I'm not going to use the same scale. I mean, this is 1. Over here, I'm going to use a different scale. Right? So if that's pi, then this had better be, you know, pi squared. Okay. So at t equals pi, y is increasing. So the curve will be, as, and if you draw the parametric curve, as you trace it out along increasing t, the curve will be going up because y is increasing, and it will be going to the left because x is decreasing. Let's write down this. Okay, so dx dt is negative at t equals pi. In fact, we can get more precise, right? What is the exact value of dx dt at x equals pi?
Zero.
No. It's not zero. Zero is where you have a horizontal tangent.
Okay.
The slope is negative. What's the derivative of sine?
Cosine.
What's the cosine of pi?
Negative 1.
Negative 1. Okay. All right. So the curve, when we draw the parametric curve, so let's imagine, let's say that we have, okay, so let me actually move this over a bit. So right here, x is 0. That's what we're going to have at t equals pi. Okay. And y is going to be, you know, pi squared. That's what's going to happen at t equals pi. The curve is going, and as we saw here, you know, dy dt, you know, the derivative of that is just 2t, right? Which is 2 pi. At t equals pi, right? So, okay, so y is going to be increasing, x is going to be decreasing. So your curve is going to look something like this at t equals pi. Your y is going to be increasing, so you're going up. Your x is decreasing, so you're going to the left. So just looking at this, what's the slope here? Is it positive? Yeah, it's negative, right? And we can be more precise, too. Okay, if we just have dy, looks like I'm writing myself into a corner. Let me move over here.
Dy divided by dx. Divide the numerator and denominator by dt. Okay, we know what these are. Dy divided by dt, we at t equals pi, we got 2 pi. At t equals pi, the derivative of x with respect to t equals negative 1, okay, the cosine of pi. So we know the slope. It's negative 2 pi.
How do you get the 2y over dt at the top of the fraction, which is 2 pi? How do you get that one?
You mean dy over dt?
Yeah, and then get 2 pi.
Oh, we just derived pi squared.
The derivative of t squared?
T squared. No, we change it to pi, since t equals pi.
So it's 2 pi. But you take the derivative of y at pi.
So I give it was t squared bring down to
the way I think of it is as if I increase t by some tiny number dt, is going to decrease x by an amount approximately negative 1 times that dt, and it's going to increase y by approximately what? That 2 pi times that dt. So if I look at the ratio of that little change in y divided by that little change in x, it should be approximately the 2 pi dt divided by a negative 1 dt. And in the limit, which is what the derivative is, it's exactly 2 pi over negative 1 with the dt's canceled. Okay. And now, okay, so this is
slope.
Yeah.
So yes. I guess we should have given our curve a name, you know. Maybe I should call this, let's call this C.
For curve.
Now I can say something without repeating too much. Okay. How about a tangent line?
Can we just use the x and y values and do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Point slope formula.
Yes.
Okay, so the point on my curve has x coordinate what?
Pi and x squared.
Look over there on the far right. What's the x coordinate?
Negative 0.
0.
Yes.
Okay. And you can see the x value of 0 right here. You can also see x coordinate 0 right here. Right? And the y coordinate is pi squared.
Okay.
Alright, so just use the point slope formula. Y minus pi squared. Right? So remember you're thinking of, we have this line, it has this slope of negative 2 pi. And we know about one point on the line. Okay, so if you looked at some other point on the line over here, x comma y, right? Then you know that the horizontal distance here would just be, I should say horizontal displacement, because it could be negative, x minus 0. And the vertical displacement from pi squared to y, whatever the y is, would be y minus pi squared. And the ratio of vertical displacement to horizontal displacement, or rise over run, as they sometimes say, has to be 2 pi. So a common way to write it is vertical displacement equals slope times horizontal displacement. And there are many other equivalent forms. And yes, you could simplify this. I don't particularly care whether you simplify it or not.
So what you're looking for is this, just the tangent line of the parametric curve at that t point.
Okay.
Yeah. Marvich, what was it that you said? Y minus pi squared, was it displacement or what?
The word I used was vertical displacement.
Okay.
Which is just a fancy word for difference in y coordinates. Right? I use displacement because displacement can be positive or negative. You can go up or down. Right? Or in the horizontal case you can go left or right. So if the slope is 2 pi, right, then 2 pi has to equal this, which on my line here is this. So usually people write it this way. This way is better because if you plug in x equals 0 here, you get division by 0. And that means there's a hole in your solution set. So to get the whole line, multiply both sides by that denominator there so that this is still part of the solution even when you make it 0 there.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a little tricky here. There's some context switching that goes on. Symbols get used to mean different things in different places, right? I mean, over there we have these formulas, x equals this, y equals that, and we're talking about the curve. Whereas here, I'm not talking about the curve anymore. I'm talking about this tangent line. Right? This point, x comma y, is not a point on the curve. It's a point on the tangent line. So you have to pay careful attention to context. If you don't like that sort of thing, you can use, you know, different letters before you write the final answer. But I found that when I use things like different letters, it just creates more confusion rather than less. Your mileage may vary. All right. We got all this. But there's this other question. You know, we know a little bit about the curve here. But we really don't know if it's concave up. I mean, does it look... Is it like this, or concave up, or is it concave down like this? No. So to correctly resolve that question, well, one thing you could do is, I suppose you could graph it, and then you can make a reasonable guess. If you want to be able to actually prove something with just the formulas, then you need to have a definition, right? Okay. The curve is concave up if the slope is increasing. Now here's the key point. With respect to x. That's how concavity is defined. Slope is increasing. As you go to the right, the slope gets more positive if you say you start out positive. You could also be, your slope is negative, but then as you go to the right, it gets less negative, right? And then maybe eventually it turns positive, right? That's concave up. Increasing slope as you go to the right. You want to work with that definition to resolve this question. So to help clear things up, let's call M the slope. Okay? So if dm dx, the derivative of slope with respect to x, is positive, then you're concave up, because if the derivative is positive, your function is increasing. Now what we have are these functions that depend on t. So the natural thing to do is divide numerator and denominator by dt, just like we did over here. Now the trick is you need a formula for m. Okay? So, you know, here we just figured out the slope of a single point. Now I need m as a function of t. Much know what it should be, right? It's,
but like, doesn't it, like, if you already have the slope, which is negative 2 pi, then you just need to prove a point? That way you can have an equation for m?
We got a tangent line, but I want to know about concavity.
Wouldn't it just be...
You one point, and the slope at one point does not tell you concavity, right? I could have a curve with this as, with a, that looks like this, it has this slope. But the question is, does it bend up like that, or does it bend down like this? Okay, is the curve above the tangent line or below the tangent line? You can't tell just knowing one point and one slope. That's not enough information. You need to know how the slope is changing. How does the curve bend? So we need to know the slope at other points, not just our one point. So we need a formula for the slope that we can plug multiple t values into. And we did that formula basically here. I mean, we said it, we didn't write it. I mean, the derivative of sine of t is cosine of t at pi. You get cosine of pi, which is -1.
We explicitly wrote the derivative here. So now, we need to compute the derivative of this with respect to t. We need to know how does the slope change as t changes. Then we can divide that by the rate of change of x with respect to t to figure out the rate of change of slope with respect to x. So we need the derivative of that first.
Two.
No, it's a fraction. What rule do you use to find the derivative?
Quotient rule. Right?
Yes.
So I guess for emphasis, this is what I'm doing now. I'm computing this dm dt and this dx dt. We already know the dx dt. I did it there. I just write it again. This is new. We have to use the quotient rule on this. Okay. So that I don't have things stacked three high, let me write it like this, okay? It's a little easier to read. Now we can use the quotient. There's the quotient rule. Mm-hmm. Okay. That derivative will be 2.
Yes.
This derivative will be negative sine of t.
Just one question. Why do you multiply by 1 over cosine t?
I have this derivative divided by cosine t. I didn't want to have to write, a cosine t under all of this.
Yes.
So I just re-expressed it. There's no deep math going on with this equal sign. It's just the notation. Numerator will be 2 cosine t plus 2t sine t, I believe. And I can just multiply 1 by all that, so that I can make this all one fraction, multiply the denominators as well, get a cosine cubed. Okay. Now one thing, very important, when you're doing this sort of stuff where you compute a derivative at a single point, in our case we're interested at t equals pi, you always compute the derivative using, you know, these general values of t. Only at the end do we plug in our specific t value, right? Because the rate of change depends on lots of t values, right? It depends on a limit of t values closer and closer together. And then only at the end do we just look at one t value. Right? If there was only one t value, there'd be no change at all, and so this wouldn't make any sense. So plug in the t value at the end.
I think it's
a common notation for plugging in a point is you write a line and then a subscript to the that vertical line is you say what you're plugging in. Okay, cosine of pi, so negative 1 plus, there's a t, make that a pi. Sine of pi, 0.
My professor, you said positive at the top of two cosine of t minus 2 t sine of t. Is it negative or positive? Because I got a negative when I was doing my calculations.
Well, let's look over here. Okay. The derivative should be negative sine of t, right?
Oh,
and
okay.
And then there's a minus 2t here.
I got you.
So I think it should come out positive. Get yourself a calculator that can do the derivative, and that would be... And double check, see what the calculator says about the formula.
No, it's because I was thinking maybe that's the correct sign.
Maybe the calculator will tell you this is 2 secant squared t plus, you know, 2 t tangent t secant squared t, which is technically correct. It's the same as our formula. But you'll see that there's a plus sign, so you'll have a hint that you're on the right track.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyways, what do we got here? It looks like, okay, this is a minus 1. Let's see here. 2 and 2, I'll factor that out. Pi minus 1. Minus 1. 1 minus pi is negative. Okay, so. So I think the curve is concave down. At least at this point. So, in terms of our graph, right, we had x equals 0, y equals pi squared. We had that slope of negative 2 pi. If it's concave down, that means the curve must be bending something like that. Yes, look at this. Did all that without any direct graphical insights. You might be able to do some reasoning in your head about what the curve should look like. If I wanted to avoid all these derivatives in algebra and I wanted to think about it more visually, I would think, okay, x equals sine of t, so x is going to oscillate between 1 and negative 1, and starting at t equals 0, x will be 0, and then I notice that y is an increasing function of t, so as time increases from 0, I'm going to start at 0, and the y is going to increase up like this, so it's going to be a curve like this. And as t gets bigger, the rate of change of t squared right, is going to get faster, right? So it's going to be like a sine wave, and it's going to oscillate. It's going to get stretched out vertically more and more. So I have some visual intuition for what this should be like. But even with my visual intuition here, I'm a little hazy on is this concave down or concave up? So I could have told you that the slope was negative just from thinking about it, I really wouldn't have been sure about the concavity. That's a little bit harder to reason about in this example. I could imagine, you know, I mean, in my picture here, it almost looks like an inflection point where it's switching, so it could actually be concave up in my picture. So it's hard to figure out concavity just by guessing. From this, I know that my picture here is probably a little bit. I should make my picture. Now that I know this, I should probably make my picture look more concave down, right? I should squash it down more like this. There. But that didn't occur to me until after I learned that it was concave down. And I'm not sure about this 2 pi, right? I suppose I could learn now. Cosine of 2 pi is 1. 2 pi. Sine of 2 pi is 0. Cosine of 2 pi is 1. Okay, so this time it's just a 1, and it's just, I guess, 2 plus 4 pi. Okay, so it's concave up at. So my picture here is. It should be bending up. So it's concave down there, concave up there, but that wasn't obvious, so the computation had some value. Told me something I didn't know. There's the common mistake that people make, because it's tempting, because the computation is easier. This is what you do not want to do, okay? You do not want to take the second derivative with respect to y and divide it by the second derivative second derivative of y with respect to t, second derivative of x with respect to t. And that looks tempting. I mean, it's an easier formula. You don't have to use a quotient rule in this case. You know, you just get, this is just going to be 2, and this is going to be, take the derivative of the cosine, the sine, negative sine. Right?
Yes.
That, as we saw, that's not the rate of change of the slope with respect to x. That's the rate of change of the slope with respect to x. You plug t equals pi into that, you'll get undefined, right? Not the 2 times 1 minus pi that you should get. it looks tempting because, you know, we know that, you know, if in the y equals f of x context, right, then the slope m, you know, is just f prime of x, which means that if you do dm dx, right, you just get another derivative with respect to x of the same thing. So it's tempting to think that you should be able to just do second derivatives, but that's not the case. You really do need to use the quotient rule. Start on the polar coordinate stuff, but there's only 10 minutes, so we'll save all the polar coordinate stuff for tomorrow. Consider the curve gamma given by find an equation for the tangent line for gamma at t equals 1. And you have that formula, is the curve concave up or concave down at t equals negative 1? Consider there. And here's another question to think about. I should do a little bit of algebra for this next one. Does the curve ever switch concavity? Is it always concave down, or is it always concave up, or is it concave down in some place and concave up in another place? Right? And justify your answer. So if you think it never switches, explain why. If it does switch, give me examples to show it switching. Okay. Questions or comments? Alright. So tomorrow we'll talk about the polar curves. They're basically a special case of parametric curves, which allow us to do a few shortcut formulas. But other than that, they're just parametric curves of a certain type. Finish a little early. That's okay.